This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
And now we come to the thrilling final episode of our radio drama.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative. Gets the people going.
The Greg Hill Morning Show.
Ladies
and gentlemen, please,
would you bring your attention to me? For a beast
for your eyes to see, an explosion of catastrophe.
Starring.
I'm here for it, bro. I'm sure Greg Hill does a mediocre job.
What is wrong with a man who loves a dog?
Greg Hill.
He made his money. He's allowed to spend it as he likes. But is it a douche move to post about it?
No.
There are a lot of people who can't afford groceries.
Since the guy who posts $500 dinners twice a week.
Featuring the original spark of the Pats dynasty.
All right, what up, adults?
Yes, queen.
I did not know that.
Wiggy.
Probably is going to get broken and is out. The great one, Alex Ovechkin. Looks like he might pass Wayne Gretzky.
Joined by the relationship alpha.
Here's seismologist that turns my tune.
Courtney Cox.
So it wasn't like he died in bed and she just didn't move.
No.
Okay.
Right. No, but she had the body brought back there.
Prepared. It's like, so they probably took everything out.
Yes.
Is that what they did?
Yeah.
Did the autopsy?
Embalming?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe embalming or something like that.
And accompanied by
the real Slim Shiny. Please.
I'm standing up.
Two big brains behind the glass.
Well, get past that.
Like, talk to me, Daddy.
Curtis and Shime.
What do the old heads call it? A bag of ants?
Yes.
Bag of ants?
Isn't that what they call it?
I was thinking of the movie with Will Smith and Matt Damon.
No, but Greg, isn't that what they call it?
You mean a vagabond?
Oh, I don't know, like a hobo?
Yeah, it's a vagabond.
Vagabond, I don't know.
Now.
Sweet, sweet taste of victory.
And I am 100% passing judgment.
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
This is a godforsaken bunch of... You guys, I've never heard of this name in my life.
On Boston Sports Original.
The vibes are immaculate right now.
You're just all about a good time, a good vibe. You're a vibe curator.
W-E-E-I.
When I say Greg Hill and you say show, Greg Hill! Greg Hill!
Go!
Greg Hill!
Show!
All right. Sports to get to, but it's been bothering me all night. Is Lieutenant Dan okay?
I need an update.
Did Lieutenant Dan survive the hurricane?
He did. I was so nervous. It was the first thing I thought of when my eyes opened this morning, because before I closed them last night, I saw a video and his boat was flapping around.
Oh, the boat was rocking.
Yeah, I said, this is not no bueno for Lieutenant Dan.
Was he out there singing, rock the boat, don't rock the boat, baby?
Probably,
rock the boat, don't tip the boat over.
Oh, he's all right. right.
But Brian Enten, he covered the Idaho 4. That's when I started following him. But he's always on the scene for big stories.
Mm, okay.
And he had Lieutenant Dan after the storm had made landfall. I think Mitch has the video of it. But Dan is okay.
Okay, good. Thank God. Thank God everything is okay with Lieutenant Dan.
The only way I'm going to go to a motel room is if a woman invites me and she's going to stay. That's the only thing I'd give the vote up for, the girl.
Can I just? Maybe he got his girl.
I mean, far be it for me to critique local news, but these people, to the point of a near on-air breakdown, are telling residents to flee, saying, "Do not stay. You will not survive." And then they go, "Let's go down for a 20-minute checkup of Lieutenant Dan."
All right,
giving the guy hours of airtime.
It does seem to point out that there may have not been as much risk as they were suggesting, Curtis.
It's just counterintuitive. If you're devoting the entire newscast to telling people to leave and then celebrating a guy sitting on his dinghy, like, I don't get it.
When's it supposed to hit? Do they know?
It was last night.
Was it last night?
You watch the news at all?
No, I mean,
I know. There's reality TV and all.
It didn't seem like it was something, but you guys were calling it a Category 6.
Wrong again.
It made landfall last night.
Yeah. All right.
And there has been a bit of a storm surge.
All right.
And so our thoughts and prayers to everybody in that area. And, of course, that's where we go every spring for spring training, to the Fort Myers area. And so it seems like... Well, I'm sure we'll get to it during the news, but it seems like they are making out okay so far.
And if I may, I understand that it wasn't a category 5. I believe when it touched down, it was a category 3. But if I'm somebody who lives in Florida or I have family that lives in Florida, I would rather be scared and overprepared than underprepared going into some of these.
Yeah.
So
I mean, they made it sound like it was going to be the worst storm in history, and they couldn't believe winds at 250 miles an hour.
I don't think it ever got to that.
Well, yeah, but that's the way they built it.
The best way to encapsulate the news coverage is yesterday, in the middle of a report on CNN, the map changed to the projected landfall from a 4 to a 3.
All right.
And they didn't even, it's like, you know when you have the snow maps? In 3 hours, it goes from 6 to 12 to 4 to 8, but they never addressed that it went to 4 to 8.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's fine. Like, obviously, you want people to live. What happened yesterday was devastating. It's going to ruin homes, and people died. It's awful. Awful. But it's not the job of the news to scare you. It's the job of the news to tell you what's going to happen or what happened.
You can probably explain this better than I, because you are a meteorologist, but what was freaky yesterday were the 12 tornadoes that touched down in advance of that storm.
Yeah. That I did see.
So what you have when the wind shear weakens the eye wall and the storm grows in size, but it shrinks in the max winds in the middle of it.
Was there at any time a hovering cold front intersecting with the warm front at all?
I got to tell you, it's a great point, Greg. It was coming up at Cape Catteras right in there. Boom. Look out.
Well, I know one thing. It's Florida.
All right.
So Lieutenant Dan is going to have one heck of a post-hurricane rager on the boat later on today with lots of ladies and lots of cheap beer. Guaranteed that's happening. Shime, how is Mrs. Shime, your mom?
She's good. She texted us last night at like 1:30 in the morning. She says, seems like it's past. We're going to bed now. So all's good in the hood.
Okay. Did you text back your picks for this weekend?
No, I was. Okay. I needed some sleep.
If you have some leftover bread, send it up here.
All right. Well, we got lots to get to. As it became official yesterday after Gerard Mayo's press conference that Drake May will be your starter come Sunday against the Houston Texans. What are you chuckling about, Curtis? Text line?
Twitch's Hancock. That was not an explanation of why the tornadoes formed.
Yes, I mean, have they not figured? I hate to ruin things, but I might as well just say it. Curtis is not a legit meteorologist.
How dare you?
We've been pulling the wool over your eyes.
Really?
Could you imagine it's 6:08 and that's what you're thinking? Like, Go outside. It's beautiful. It's brisk.
You are very convincing, Curtis. You are very convincing.
It's not about what you know. It's how confident you are in saying it.
I thought this whole time you went to BC for meteorologist.
I mean, no, I just have an app on my phone. It tells me everything I need to know.
All right.
Don't tell Ken.
Curtis is not an actual weather person, but...
it could be.
The Drake May era will begin on Sunday.
Finally. And,
thank God.
We heard not only from Gerard Mayo, but we heard from Drake May yesterday. And we will, throughout the morning, go over what each of them said about this fresh start. Would you call it a fresh start for the New England Patriots, Shime?
I would absolutely say so. I had a question, too, for the room. Would it have been frowned upon if I had worn my Drake May jersey again today? Because I'm thinking about just, like, wearing it every day until he makes his start on Sunday.
I mean, I generally don't judge based on...
How much do you sweat through the show?
I would wash it every day, to be fair. That's or at least, like, every other day.
Seems like a lot of effort for a grown man to make. But
Drake deserves it.
If you are that excited about it, then that's fine.
Greg, just go home and away.
I don't think I have been more excited for anything in my life.
Okay,
please.
Let's take a breather.
I mean, what about when when a new Fortnite drops?
Right. What about Christmas when there was a new Pac-Man?
What about when they introduced limited one of a kind skins in Fortnite? Were you not more excited about that?
Nope, definitely wasn't.
He's definitely more excited about the new anime though. Because didn't he talk about he camped out in like some new animes before?
I have been pretty excited for anime. Blue Lock did just drop this weekend, so.
I mean, I hate to bring it up, but what if he stinks? What?
It's week one.
What if he gets in there and he's an absolute bust? Who do we turn to then? Joe Milton?
I think we just ride the storm out.
Like Lieutenant Dan.
When is it coming, Wiggy? What time is landfall?
I don't know. You guys tell me. Okay. But I think you just look at it and go, all right. For him, this is his week one, and we don't start comparing him to the rest of the rookies until he gets to his fifth or sixth week of the season, like everybody else.
I was texting with Ken last night, Greg, and I have the most optimistic lead of my life. I'm the polar opposite of where you are right now.
Okay.
And
what do you mean where I am?
Basically that. What if he stinks?
Okay.
Like, so right. I'm entering it from the opposite, and. Yeah. I have an answer if he stinks, but the general whole feeling around the team is that the season kind of starts Sunday.
Yeah.
This is really Mayo's first game because he has a quarterback that can throw the ball, and we're going to start to see what they have together because they will be matched together. If Drake May's great, Gerard Mayo's going to be viewed as a great coach. If Drake May sucks, he's going to be viewed as a failure, and he'll be out of a job in a couple years.
Listen, I don't think he's going to stink. I think the only way that he stinks is the way in which he may stink is because of what's around him.
Yeah.
Then you find out
what Jalen Polk is.
Yeah, I'm with Curtis, who's been saying for a long time that you need to find out what you have. Mm-hmm. I mean, you spent big on the guy with the third pick,
yep.
So you need to know what he is and what he can be. And
right.
So I'm delighted
and
about
we got,
that.
And that's why I said, don't we got a little bit of a leash? No one's going to go crazy after his first game. If he goes out there and throws three touchdowns and it's something ridiculous.
Well, they'll also go crazy if he goes out and throws three picks. I mean,
I don't think so. I think people like...
Shime lap jury duty.
I think a lot of people will be like Curtis said, and like I said, this is his first game as a starter. Let's really see where he is after starting five or six games. Is he trending in the right direction where he's not making the same mistakes that he did when he first started? So I think that's what a lot of people will be doing.
All right. Well, we got a lot to get to on this morning show, including our leads coming up in just about 10 minutes. And then the head coach of Boston College football, Bill O'Brien, on this show at 6:45. After that, I'm guessing 7:20, Shime. Might as well say 7:20 on They Said It, which is a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. And we will certainly talk about what Aaron Rodgers said yesterday about having nothing at all to do with the firing of his head coach. And that was very believable, Curtis, I would say.
He's my number one biggest a-hole in sports.
He is?
Like, not actual, like, nobody, like, not legitimate, you know, like, not someone who's committed. about why they had to go to Milwaukee.
Yeah. Why are we flying to Milwaukee for a preseason game?
Did you connect in Dubuque?
I don't know, because you're paid $47 million a year and you play in the NBA. And
well, how else are you supposed to get? Did you want to take a bus?
Right. It was bring your son to work day. I mean, why not?
How else did he want to get to Milwaukee for preseason?
And I'm sure if LeBron didn't want to go, he could have said, I'm not going. Like, do you really think Jeannie Buss would have fired him?
I think maybe he wanted to play virtually. Like, he wanted to work from home as opposed to going to Milwaukee. I mean, honestly, who wants to go to Milwaukee?
I don't know. I've never been to Milwaukee. I heard it's okay.
There's an important person in this building who likes it, so I love it.
Yeah, I've never been there.
Oh, yeah, that's Mike Thomas's home country, right?
Oh, is it? Okay.
I mean, that was Greg and Wiggy.
Yeah. It does look pretty there.
I've never been there. I heard good things about it. I mean, I remember Laverne and Shirley.
Right. Laverne and Shirley.
Yep.
And Chime, brats and beer. That's what Milwaukee is.
Right up my alley, baby.
What is the difference between a brat and a sausage?
I think it's like a total mouth intake area. Courtney just
we're off the road.
Like a brat is much bigger.
Is it preparation?
I have no idea.
Like, is a brat prepared differently?
I don't know.
I just was looking to see if Greg could add to
don't
his
they
great
boil brats more
right,
like than sausage. Like, you might be right. Maybe it's don't they? I think they boil them, whereas a sausage.
But
they
is
might
a sausage a hot dog?
No.
See, so that's different too.
See, Curtis, so it's like
Curtis, are you trying to set me up for another massive factual food? Misstatement.
Yes. I've been working with Ken on a new imaging thing. I need one more to put it together. So.
Well, so if you would like the actual answer, it's similar to the
wouldn't? What if I don't want it?
Then we could just go on as a mystery. But I'm just trying to provide information here. It's like the phrase? All ships are boats, but not all boats are ships. It's the
never
same
heard
thing.
That one.
No.
Bratwursts are a type of sausage.
Okay.
So sausage is the catch-all term. Bratwursts are a specific type of sausage.
Oh, okay.
All right.
And then where do hot dogs come into play?
I don't believe those are.
I think they're all in the same family, right?
Yeah. Oh, look at Mitch on Twitch. A+. He's got the full description right there.
Our guy Mitch.
Ground pork or beef.
There we go.
Oh, okay.
The more you know.
Hot dogs, Courtney, hot dogs are made from the anus of the pig.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know that or not.
I don't eat hot dogs because of the snap. And so now that I know that it's in the anus of the pig that is snapping, I definitely will never.
That's not why it snaps.
Why does it snap?
Because of the casing.
Right? Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Do you eat a sausage then? You don't eat sausage then because that snaps.
Veering into dangerous territory.
Oh, goodness gracious.
All right. What else? News with Courtney at 7:45. That includes guacamole rage, which led to violence in Michigan. And would Wiggy eat it based on what one Canadian man ate yesterday? So another edition of Would Wiggy Eat It coming up during today's news. And I have a pair of Bruins tickets to give away for tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bruins home opener against the Montreal Canadiens. I will give those away at 9:30 on today's show. Okay? So heads up. If you'd like to be there tonight at the Garden, you can win Bruins tickets at 9:30 on today's show. Here's Courtney. Without a hot dog or a sausage or even a brat anywhere near her mouth. And what is trending right now to start the show?
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Fine Mass Money. Gerard Mayo has made it official when it comes to the QB1 situation on Sunday. Here's what he had to say about breaking the news to both Jacoby and Drake.
Going forward, I think now, you know, Drake gives us the best chance to win now and going forward. He's been he's been getting better every single week. As I said before, at the end of training camp, he actually was trending at a very high rate. And that has continued through the early part of the season. And so, you know, it was solely my decision to make this choice. I had a conversation one-on-one with Jacoby. I had a conversation with Drake. We're all on board. And I would also say Jacoby's a warrior, and he took the news very well, like a professional, like you would expect from a guy like that. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So if, God forbid, there's some kind of mental harm or physical harm done to Drake May,
by playing in an NFL game, then you can point the finger at one person and one person only, and that is Jerod Mayo.
He'll be fine.
I think he will, Shime, yes. I think he'll be okay. It is football.
When it comes to Jabril Peppers, he has been placed on the commissioner's exempt list, so that means he will not be able to attend practices or games until he is off.
How about that one done by the NFL, huh? That was strange.
Well, he was in possession of cocaine.
No. Oh, so that's why they did it?
I would assume that's why.
Okay. I don't... Because there are other guys, it seemed like the NFL waited for their case to play out, like Rashee Rice,
they
Vaughn
waited.
Miller.
Yeah.
But so it's very strange.
I would assume that it has to, I'm not a part of the NFL discipline committee, so I don't know, but I would assume that's it.
Can I toss a potential Keithspiracy, if you will, your way, Greg?
Of course.
Is there a chance that Robert Kraft said something to Goodell like, hey, can you put him on the exempt list to kind of bail us out here because Jerod Mayo stepped in it a couple days ago?
Maybe.
And we need to kind of resolve this issue?
I mean, they appear to be sort of undecided on where they stand as an organization. We talked about it briefly yesterday, but he was at the Pine Street Inn with the other fellas when they were doing a little charity work on Tuesday.
Yeah.
So that's a Patriot event. And then I think they're undecided as well when it comes to they sent David, who lives in my building, told me they sent the email out yesterday for the season ticket wait list.
Uh-huh.
And he was the cover dude on the email that they sent out.
Then
they did the retracting of the email, which they pulled that baby back later after they figured that out, I guess. And so they appear to be undecided at times.
Well, how many eyes look at an email before it goes out to the masses?
Maybe it was auto sent.
Maybe they got some, because even with Mayo's opening statement,
they had one with Mayo. They said he was on a conference call, but his headphone jack wasn't even plugged into the phone.
Oh, speaking of that, we don't have time now, but never mind Jeremy Reiner, Curtis. You have a new arch enemy when it comes to weather, and it's none other than the Vice President of the United States. I don't know if you heard her yesterday.
I would say I would not do anything different than the current president has for the last... Oh, I'm sorry. What was it that she did?
At some point, I mean, an absolute shot in your direction when it comes to meteorology from the Vice President of the United States.
We were getting along so well.
Team sources have confirmed that the Red Sox have fired a few coaches. I'm going to get to that in my lead, so we'll hold off on talking about that. And as Hurricane Milton made landfall last night, the storm ripped the roof off of Tropicana Field. Tropicana had some essential personnel inside, but everyone was accounted for and safe. The Bruins have their home opener tonight. Puck drop is at 7 against the Canadiens. And Thursday night football, we'll see the Niners at the Seahawks. Kickoff at 8:15. Shime, I will be asking you for a lock in this one.
All right, I will be ready.
And Find Mass Money wants to help you enjoy the football season by helping you find money you didn't know you had. You could have unclaimed money from a forgotten savings account, uncashed payroll checks, or a refund check that never got to you. Go to findmassmoney.gov today. It takes only 30 seconds to search your name. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Great job, Courtney. Thank 45 you. Degrees. Oh, what bag did you go with? The Instagram story had like 5 bags you were choosing between.
Thank you so much for asking. I did go with the black bag.
Oh, I would have chosen that one.
Yep.
James was a huge fan as well. 45 degrees and clear, afternoon high of 58.
5 different bags?
3.
3 different bags?
In this economy?
Wow.
Yes.
Must be nice.
Well, gifted. Oh. And before we move on, I know we're behind. Great haircut.
Oh, do you like it?
Yeah, Greg got his haircut.
I go
shorter than normal.
I have a regular appointment over at Sims in Southie with my guy Nate. I go every 2 weeks. I don't like the way he did the beard, though.
Too low for you?
Yeah, he went too trim on the beard, and that makes my face look fat. Well, actually, my face is fat, but not having the beard to cover it up makes it look fatter, just as a heads up. That's a life hack for you.
Courtney, I noticed you pointed it out this morning. Do you dislike short hair like you dislike short guys?
Oh. No, I do not. I don't at all. I just am surprised that he let him go that short. I know that he enjoys his beard a little bit longer.
Yes. All right. We are going to take a break. Our lead's coming up next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man.
Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
That show for next summer at Gillette is almost sold out. Went on sale, I think, a couple days ago.
Right.
They do that now. Put concerts on sale. This is Ask a Boomer or Old Head Raging at Cloud. But they put them on sale a year before the concert happens. And I'm amazed that people are willing to plan that far out and know that they're going to be available on July 15th of 2025.
Oh, of course. You have to now.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
I feel like I didn't do a great job as a dad because I was literally having a conversation 2 days ago about Coldplay. My two boys go, we want to go to Coldplay concert at Foxborough.
I think you did a great job.
And I'm like... I'm looking at them. I'm like, Coldplay? Like, I heard of them before, but I couldn't, like, name a song. Like, I couldn't...
Yellow?
Yeah, well, I couldn't name, like, a song or anything. Like, they just they weren't a band that I'm like, oh, I know, I've heard that before. And I was like, why would you want to go to a Coldplay?
Is it too WPS for you? Or
well, like, for me, it's a little bit. And my wife was like, yeah, Coldplay. I'm like...
They're a pretty good band.
And they're like, you got to see the concerts. And then they... So they FaceTime me, and then they screen share, like, these concerts of, like, all these lights and stuff. And I'm like, where did I go wrong? I thought I was, like, giving you Jay-Z and Biggie and Tupac. They're like, let's go to Coldplay.
You should reach out to the organization.
Uh-huh.
Get 25 Coldplay tickets on the donut, and then designate that as your daughter's wedding, and then everybody can go to Coldplay.
No, but see, my daughter won't go. She's already asked me to go to Rod Wave, who's going to be at TD Garden.
I see.
That's an easier ticket.
She's like me. She's like, Coldplay? Who the hell wants to go to Coldplay?
I mean, obscure Coldplay reference, Curtis?
40-year-old virgin.
Yes, nailed it. All right, let's get
That wouldn't be in a movie today, by the way.
Why? The song?
No, that back and forth. There's no way in 2024 they have that joke.
Yeah, you're right. But I think it's kind of going around the other way.
That's true.
Thankfully, I think.
I think Jay Leno answered it best.
Let's get right to this.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
Tell me quick, said old McPhee. What's this all have to do with me? I spent all my time at sea, alone.
I thought for a minute I knew the voice. I think I still may know the voice. I don't know the song, but is that Bob Seger?
Yes, of course it's Bob Seger.
You love Bob Seger.
I do love Bob Seger. This one, this is a long-distance dedication to Lieutenant Dan. I'm glad he's safe, but this would be the song Ship of Fools by my guy Bob Seger.
Well, it turned away before the answer, though I yelled aloud, he refused to hear.
I think somewhere on the coast of Florida, Lieutenant Dan just woke up and he's having a cig on the boat, probably.
I don't often critique musical choices, Greg, because I think Shime does a great job and Ken's a big hardo, so I'm Team Shime.
Appreciate
However,
you.
If you're going to do a Lieutenant Dan reference, wouldn't you do CCR?
Have you ever seen The Rain?
Yeah, or, I mean, something from the Forrest Gump soundtrack?
And we've played a lot of those songs a lot of times on this program, so I tried to go with something that we have never played,
deep
to be
track.
Fair. But I don't hate the suggestion, Curtis. Thank you for the criticism.
You got it.
Also, you could go alternately with Have You Ever Seen The Rain by Creedence Clearwater Revival. They have a couple Rain songs.
Yes, they do.
Which I believe they were used at the time to reference Agent Orange. The Vietnam situation with Agent Orange, I think, is what they were trying to comment on politically at the time.
Well, you can go with It's Raining Men.
Right. And Agent Orange, Courtney, not a
did not work for the CIA or for MI5 or anything.
I was going to ask, yeah.
Yes. Is it Trump?
Sometimes you talk like and you go real boomer and it like comes in my ears like that teacher in
Charlie Brown.
Charlie Brown. Like it's like wah, 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 wah,
wah, wah. Don't you want to learn it all about things that happen?
I do, but you talk as if everybody understands what you're saying.
Well, there are a lot of people who listen to the show. Who are older.
And that's why I
like,
just
know exactly what he's talking about.
And that's
about.
Why I just keep my mouth shut and yeah. I look at you and I nod my head. But I just want you to know that in my brain, yeah. It's wah, wah, wah.
I understand that. Oh, I understand that. I'm getting up there.
That's how I am with the country music.
Yeah. I am excited, though. See, this is the problem with this program is we just start talking about different things. I don't even know if we're going to get to the leads in time, but we can start them at least before Bill O'Brien joins us.
You mean friends talk about topical things in a funny way and they lose track of time? Wow, I wonder why the show's successful.
Yes. But you know what we can do?
I didn't have this segment. This was Belichick. Move that to 7:24.
You know what we can do coming up on Friday, November 8th with Joe Landry, who is turning 100 years old, the World War II veteran, who will join us, among others, at our Lunch with a Hero event at the American Heritage Museum in Hudson. We can do Ask a Greatest Gen. Because, I think you guys enjoyed Ask a Boomer.
Yeah.
So we can ask 100-year-old Joe Landry. Right. And, Courtney, you can learn some things about a period of time that you were not around.
I would love to.
You know what the wildest thing about that era was when we were at the 110 Grill last year having lunch with the heroes, there was a gentleman who on Christmas Eve was sent to Japan. And he was at a fort in Texas. He was from Boston area. And he literally, somebody wrote a letter to his mom that he was boarding a plane to Japan. And he wasn't back home for, 13 months. And it's like you had no conversation.
Yeah.
You know, today if you go 13 hours, it feels interminable. Mm. But he was literally across the world, didn't know anybody, was in a place he'd never been, going to war, and he just returns home a year later.
Well, Joe Landry, whose 100th birthday we are celebrating with you on Friday, November 8th, his parents had 7 children, and 5 of them were serving in World War II at the same time.
Wow.
Jesus. Can you imagine that as a parent, Curtis, as the parent of James?
I can't fathom how you exist. I can't fathom how people in Israel exist when they have, loved ones that are, it's just like, I don't know how people would live with 5 kids.
Yeah.
5 kids. I don't know how they all lived in one small little apartment. Said, hey, let's all huddle around the radio. No television, nothing. Right.
Yeah,
and just listen to them shows. Then they have
let me tell you, because I was there. Those were the glory days of this medium. Let me tell you, there was no other distractions. You couldn't go on the TikTok and try to find out what you were supposed to do when you ran out of baked beans. I'll tell you that much.
Were the the programs on radio is basically like the origin of audiobooks? Like that's kind of what it was, right? They were telling stories via the radio.
I thought it were like shows because it wasn't music.
Yeah, it was like
talk show.
Yeah, they were like chapters of books almost.
They had serials.
Yes, that's what. Yeah, that's the word.
Now, could you just freaking be clear? I was not alive during that period.
Are you sure? I'm pretty sure you were there for when Marconi made the radio.
No, we had television. We had movies. We had VHS. We had Beta. We had all those things when I was growing up.
But you know one thing I'll never be able to explain to James or the next generation?
Movies is, without sound?
No, well that. But radio without sound, now that's something to buy into. But if you tuned in to BZ and they started with Framingham with the school closings, I had to sit through another 300 schools to see if my school was canceled.
Right. Mm. But think about it. There was no other way technologically for them to tell everybody that the school was canceled other than announcing it on the radio.
So wild.
I loved that, though, waiting for your letter to show up.
Oh, you'd
for your
get
school.
Up like 30 minutes early just to turn on the news in bed, and you'd be sitting there waiting and hoping your school's name would come across the bottom of the screen.
So wait, you guys had that same experience?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Even in high school. Yeah.
So I'm not that old.
No.
Well.
Yeah.
I mean, both can be true.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to talk to Bill O'Brien from Boston College next. See what he thinks about Drake May and other things. And then we will get to our leads at 7. And they said it. Quick back and forth on what they said in sports coming up at 7:20. Time for our weekly chat with Bill O'Brien, the head coach at Boston College. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, Greg. Hey, guys. How we doing?
Doing great. A texter to this program right off the jump here wants me to congratulate you on making the St. John's Prep Hall of Fame, Bill O'Brien.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. It had nothing to do with my playing ability, I can promise you that, but I appreciate it. You know, St. John's Prep is a great school, and you know, I'm honored to be in the Hall of Fame. Thank you.
And so I'm guessing we had your first contact with the female sex in college, or like when did you meet your first woman?
No doubt about it. First, all boys school. Don't really know how to answer that question, but yes, the answer is yes.
I wanted to ask you about something Matt Rhule said this week, which was essentially that when you look at some of the upsets in college football. Alabama, for instance, I think was what he was asked about. He puts it all on the portal and NIL, and essentially was saying that college has become like the NFL intends to be when it comes to parity. Do you agree with that?
You know, I tend to agree with that. I told our team, you know, on Sunday that it's a new age of college football. It's a wide open deal. And, you know, Alabama lost to Vandy, which is, you know, unheard of. Tennessee lost to Arkansas. Michigan lost to Washington. Undefeated teams went down. And so, you know, I think it's going to come down to the teams that, you know, make the least amount of mistakes, the teams that, you know, understand that they have to learn how not to lose before they can understand how to win. That's what we're going through here at BC. We've got to, you know, understand in our two losses, we've turned it over. We've committed penalties that are, you know, unlike us. And so I do agree with Matt on that. I think that there is parity across college football.
Bill, how do you make sure that you're able to keep these kids focused? Because ultimately, I think in the NFL, it's the playoffs that you can get to. In college football, it's you're trying to get to the playoffs, but losing in college football is so much more devastating and in the NFL when it comes to making the playoffs. How do you get them to stay focused and stay committed to saying that, okay, even though we lost a game or two games, there might still be a potential chance here for us to make the playoffs and not just be trying to get to a bowl game?
I understand what you're saying, and it's definitely true in the NFL, Wig, right? Like, you know, having been in that league and, you know, having been around teams that were really winning and the excitement and you had a chance to go to the playoffs and then you had the teams that, you know, you're like last year at the Patriots, you know, you're like 4-10 or 3-10 and you got no shot. Like, that's very difficult to keep guys motivated. But in college football, especially here at Boston College, it's you know, new coaching staff, you know, new way of doing things. You know, this place hasn't won 8 games in a season in 15 years. So, you know, I think that there's a lot of different ways that we can, you know, keep these guys engaged. We have a great, you know, group of leaders. Our 6 captains are, you know, good guys. They care about BC football. So, yeah, ultimately, you know, we're here and we want to win, but there's a lot more to it at BC. And, you know, we're trying to talk more about the process rather than the results.
Bill, when you look back at that game on Saturday, you guys came out on the road, looked great in that first half, and then it just felt like a completely different game in the second half. Did UVA just have you guys figured out when they came back from halftime, or what happened to let that one get away from you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that UVA had us figured out. I think that we made mistakes that we can't make. I mean, we can't you know, turn the ball over. We couldn't get off the field on third down, 3rd and 10, 3rd and 13, 3rd and 9. We had penalties. We had a targeting penalty. We had a hands to the face penalty that kept drives alive for them. You know, we had a holding call that took away a 25-yard scramble by Tommy. You know, so we've got to, like, understand, you know, it really is a small margin of error, and we've got to be on the right side of that. And I think that's something that I try to teach the team every day. The coaches try to teach the team every day, and that's hopefully we can really learn from that and be better the next time out.
Your old team the New England Patriots has decided to finally start Drake May. When it comes to a rookie quarterback stepping in at this time of the season as he is, what if you were his offensive coordinator, you were his head coach, what would you be, what are the important things to be telling him in advance of Sunday?
I would say the first thing is understanding the operation, right? Like, you know, everything from the play call to the mic point, the setting of the run blocking, the setting of the protections, the keeping it simple, less plays. I wouldn't have 150 plays on the call sheet, I can tell you that. Less plays, plays that he really likes. You know, I was always into, you know, making sure during the week that the quarterback understood, hey, this is what we're going to do, and do you like these plays? You know, are you comfortable with these plays, and do you see them the right way? And so I think, you know, Drake May is obviously an extremely talented guy. He's drafted at number 3, and it's at a very exciting time for the Patriots. And so you got to try to keep it simple for him and talk to him about moving the chains and not trying to, you know, win the game in one drive.
Billy, I've been trying to get the answer to this. I've asked Bill Belichick. I've asked Gerard Mayo. When you look at the Patriots, and you were there briefly and then there for a longer stint prior, is there frustration among the coaches or the, you know, rank-and-file players that there isn't more spending on offense? You just look at the Patriots' weapons, and you could maybe argue the Boston College Eagles have more of a deep threat. Was that a frustration for you, and is that ever explained to you why they don't spend at that side of the field?
You know, that's a great question. We, you know, as assistant coaches, when we were there, you know, we were not – what we would do, Curtis, I'm going to try to answer this to the best of my ability. We would evaluate the free agents, evaluate the draft prospects. We would go over those evaluations with Bill and, you know, whoever was there. I mean, back in the day, you know, you had some of the best talent evaluators in the league there, right? You had Jason Light, you had John Robinson, Nick Caserio. These guys are, you know, at the top of their profession. And so then at the end of the day, you know, those guys would make the decisions on who to draft or, you know, who to sign and all that. We were never privy really to that after we went over the evaluations with them, if that makes sense. So certainly, like, if we were sitting there, you know, as assistant coaches, we're all sitting there, maybe we go have a beer after work or whatever. We're like, man, wish we could have got that guy, but we didn't. So we move on and we, you know, we coach everybody that's there. So, you know, I think we, as assistant coaches with Bill, we weren't that involved in all those decisions. We just evaluated, gave him our opinion, and moved on to what we were there for, which was to coach the players.
Bill, when you look at, and I know Greg asked a great question about the portal and, you know, talking about parity in college football, when you're evaluating your team, I know you're focused on the season, but when you start to evaluate what maybe potentially areas you could get better in, how do you, you know, decide whether or not you're going to jump into the portal? Because it seems like, you know, with the portal allows you to get better quickly versus maybe waiting on a kid who might be coming straight out of high school that it might take him a few years.
Yeah, that's a really, you know, great question, because as a matter of fact, yesterday we had a roster meeting, and basically the roster meeting had a lot to do with, you know, where we're at right now relative to, okay, these guys are, you know, in their fifth or sixth years, they're not going to be here next year. Okay, who's going to be here in 26? You know, it wasn't really a talent evaluation. It was more about, like, okay, we better make sure, you know, a year out, 2 years out. That's the thing about us. We've got to make sure that we're looking ahead. We can't just, like, look right here to today relative to our recruiting people and myself. So, you know, there's no doubt that we've targeted some positions, you know, that we feel, hey, you know, we might want to look in the portal. The thing about Boston College, Wig, is, mm-hmm. you know, we've got to be very selective about who we go into the portal to get. right? You know, grad transfers are great here. You know, they're really good. Trayshawn Ward is an example of that. You know, guys that, you know, they've already graduated. They can go to grad school here, get a grad degree, which is an incredible degree. You know, when you get a guy that's got 3 years left of eligibility, there was probably a problem with him at the school he's coming from, you know, relative, you know, and then now he's here and, you know, the credits don't transfer, things like that. It's just not really the philosophy that we want to really attack. We want to recruit high school guys and then maybe look in the portal for grad transfers. That's kind of how we're going to operate.
Bill, being in the middle of a 12-day off period with a bye week, how have you guys been using that? How do you think the guys have responded to that? Do you feel like you can use it to your advantage going into a week against Tech?
Yeah, these guys, Courtney, you guys as grads, you'd be very proud of these guys. They work very hard. They show up. They're pissed off that they lost to Virginia. We've been in, you know, full pads. We'll have a scrimmage today. We'll give them Friday, Saturday off. We'll be back to work on Sunday. We'll play Thursday night. Very difficult place to play, Virginia Tech. But these guys, you know, there's a positive frustration, if that makes sense, because they feel like, you know, we gave the game away. Give Virginia credit. Like you said, they did some things, and, you know, maybe we didn't adjust very well, but, you know, we gave them the game. We turned the ball over, and these guys know they can be better than that. So these guys have shown up. And, you know, they've worked very hard this week. I really enjoy coaching the team.
You know, Bill, the guy who runs the New York Jets, Aaron Rodgers, is looking for a new head coach. I don't know if you're interested or not.
Oh, man. I don't know. The Jets have struggled to get it right, you know. And, you know, but, you know, I don't know. I don't know too much about that organization. And but, you know, being in New England for the time that I was there, you know, that's a massive rivalry, obviously, and, you know, it's just been a struggle to get it right there. So, what they're doing.
Speaking of it being a rivalry, would that prevent Bill from going at some point, or would that encourage Bill when it comes to choosing that as a landing spot?
My opinion, I haven't certainly have not spoken to Bill about that, but it'd be hard for me to see Bill in, you know, New York Jet green. I don't know if I would. I can't see that, but. Anything can happen, right? I've seen a lot over 32 years. Anything can happen, but it'd be hard for me to see that. But who knows?
All right, one from the professor before we go, Shyam.
Bill, I just philosophically, I was curious about this because, so I don't know if you've seen or kind of kept up with it all. Ashton Jonte over at Boise State already has 1,000 yards rushing after 5 games.
Right.
But it's a guy who has only got offers from schools like Navy and Army and never really got looked at by those big Division I schools like your Bama's, your Ohio State's, your Michigan's. I'm curious from your perspective how difficult it is to see guys like this and be like, wow, how do teams miss these guys with all the different video systems and talent evaluators everywhere? How do you miss guys that just all of a sudden blow up in a way you never would have expected?
Yeah, it's frustrating. You know, you try to do the best you can to project guys, right? And you know, like, there's a lot of guys, Shyam, over the years that I've coached, especially in the NFL, and you'll be like, okay, where did you play? And, you know, look, one of the best examples of all time is Julian Edelman, right? I mean, this guy was like, you know, junior college, you know, Kent State, you know, obviously guy's a borderline Hall of Famer, right? So, like, how was he missed by, you know, it's hard to pinpoint. And that's what I tell our coaches all the time. We have to do whatever it takes to find these guys, because in the end at Boston College, some of the best players that ever played here. I remember talking to Matt Ryan over the summer. You know, Matt Ryan was not a highly recruited guy out of high school. I mean, he had like Wisconsin and BC, I think, were his two final offers. You know, he didn't have 25 offers. So we have to do a good job of finding these guys that we believe we can develop and that can become, you know, great players for us. I think that's the key to what we're trying to do, Shyam. It's a great question.
Please don't tell him it's a great question. That's all we need around here, Bill.
Kid is balling, actually, though.
He's a little big for his britches.
Oh, well, he's losing weight.
I'm in Shime's camp, though. I listen to you guys every now and again, and I'm on Shime Island.
No, I know.
I appreciate you, Bill. Thank you.
But telling him,
don't take his betting advice.
Yeah, you'll have to be coach another 20 years.
I mean,
no, we can't bet. We're not allowed to bet.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, right.
Yeah, if you ever need any extra eyes to go scout or anything, Bill, you have my number. You can give me a call.
Telling him, Bill, just an analogy that you'll get.
telling Shime that that was a great question is like watching the Patriots offense a couple years ago and telling Matt Patricia that was a great play that was designed. All right? That's
I can't say. You could say that about last year's Patriots offense, too, so I'm not going to go down that road.
All right. Have a great week off, and we will talk to you again next week.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks.
All right. Bill O'Brien.
Get Shime on the road.
You know what? We got to take a break, but I love hearing him talk about how he would approach, as a coordinator, Drake May and week one.
Mm-hmm.
Love that. So we'll take a quick break, and we will be back, finally, with our leads this morning.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.